Well, hey there. And this is Fish and Frank. And what a surprise that is. And we have Captain Billy Barton in the chair opposite me. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the Gulf of Mexico the last couple days. A lot of cool fish out there. And Captain Billy's been on a few charters. So let's get this music out of the way. And we'll get this started. Shut up, music. There we go. Okay, the music's gone. So what's up, Billy?
Oh, nothing. Kind of rather enjoying this couple days of rain, to tell you the truth. Spending them indoors and getting a little bit of relaxation. And, you know, this is our time of year where we're working every day that the sun shines, pretty much.
Yeah, Florida runs on sunshine. You know, it might take gasoline to run a car, but the whole darn state, if it ain't got sunshine, it just shuts down.
Yes, it does.
There is nothing going to go on in Florida until the sun comes out. But you've been out in the Gulf in the last few days.
Yes, sir, I have. It's a nice little twist on things, you know. You spend so much time on the grass flats, and I like to get out there because you never know what you're going to see out there, for one. And it's been a pretty exciting week. We've had a lot of good fish hooked up that we never saw, and then we've caught a lot of fish we had to let go because they were out of season, a lot of nice gag grouper. The red grouper seem to be pushing out pretty far right now.
I would have thought they should be coming in. I would have thought with the water as cold as it is, you usually come closer to shore, but it could be getting too cold. They might be going out trying to find warmer water.
That's my understanding, Frank. Typically, you know, the way I understand it is the reds will move in this time of year, but that water temp gets down in the 60s, the low 60s and the upper 50s, and they start to flee deep is the way I understand it, at which the gags will do the opposite, and the gags will actually come in
closer
no
and closer
what.
And closer, yeah.
Yep.
But, that's one of the things we forget, because our water doesn't, the Gulf doesn't, rarely gets into the 50s. And what was your water temp out there, surface temps?
64, 65 is what 62, 65 in that range.
That's about what I would consider. A couple of people told me closer to shore, they were seeing Gulf temps in the 50s, surface temps.
And that's inside.
As they get outside and the further they get out away from land, the more even the temperature has been, more up to low 60s, you know. That gag groupers, they like it no matter what. They're okay with the chili, but I think the reds, it got just almost too cold for them.
I ran out one day. The first day out, I ran Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I ran out about 22 miles, 23 miles, at which we probably caught 100 red grouper, and two of the fish out of, we didn't catch 100. We probably caught 50 or 60. It felt like 100. We were working hard, you know? And they were all, I mean, we had several fish measure up, and they were quarter inch, half inch shy, a lot of them. And that's bottom that a month ago we were doing good and catching a lot of keepers on. So in the last month, it's kind of transformed from the majority of your fish being keepers to a lot of shorts and very few keepers. And
well, the young ones, you know, the older ones are going to go, you know, this doesn't feel too good. I'm going to get out of here. Uh-huh. It's like if you live in Ohio. The young ones are like, yeah, well, this is okay. And it takes a while for them to go, okay, yeah, no, it is cold. I'm going to go somewhere else. But the older ones, they're like, okay, no, this is uncomfortable. I'm going south.
Yes, sir.
And I think the same thing with the grouper is the older ones, the bigger ones, as soon as it does start getting too cold, they're going to push out, look for deeper water.
Yep, absolutely. And I was trying, you know, we caught those three beautiful days, and I was trying to get out there to them, and I guess I didn't make it far enough. I probably should have ran out another 5 miles.
Well, it might not have helped. They could have worked around and come inside of you. They could be sitting right next by the pass. The unfortunate part about it is we don't really know if they came in a little closer or if they went a little further. Either one's possible, so, you know, you do the best you can. But you said I've been hearing a lot about amberjack.
Yes, sir. You know, I don't fish a lot of the public reef structures, so typically I don't see as many of the AJs as a lot of these guys are seeing. I'm fishing a lot more natural bottom. I will troll those public structures a lot for your mackerel or your barracuda, or I'll bottom fish them for Goliath grouper. Of course, they're good for shark, but I don't like them because the trop you know, our reef fish, they see so much pressure on those reefs that they're so much more spooky than a natural reef structure fish.
And you're catching enough grouper. Well, you're so tired, you think you're catching, you know, 300 fish a day. Uh-huh. If you're that tired, you're catching a lot of fish.
Yes, sir. One thing that was spectacular, Tuesday and Wednesday, I decided, you know what, it's still beautiful, but I'm not going to go out as far as I did. I knew that people could have fun inshore with gags catching big fish. And I knew that the mangrove snapper, the big sheep's head, they've all been on the inshore ledges. And this is inside of 12 miles, 10, 12 miles.
Right, near shore.
Near shore, yes, sir. And so we opted to go lighten up and fish for some big mangrove snappers for those days, at which we did really well both days, you know, 15, 20 keeper fish, up to 5 pounds, 22-inch, 24-inch snapper, a couple of them.
Guy came in today and he was asking me, he said, what kind of fish is this? And it was a mangrove snapper, but he's only caught him in the harbor. It was his first time in the Gulf, and he didn't realize when you catch a mangrove snapper in the Gulf, there's no color on it. It's just gray.
Yeah.
And that's why in the Gulf they're called a gray snapper. In the harbor they're called a mangrove snapper. Uh-huh. And the harbor has the red belly, black back, you know, brown back, and the black stripe on its eye. Exact same fish in the Gulf. Pure gray, no color on it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
These fish were pretty that day. I mean, they have that pink look. Sometimes they get that pretty silvery pink look to them, you know?
Right.
And these fish were real pretty, a lot of them. I wish I could put a picture up on this radio show right now.
It's
that I got
coming.
One in the pocket.
We're working on it. In a little while, there'll be pictures to go along with this. I'm not there yet, but, you know, give me baby steps. We're getting the radio fishing together. This is doing okay, and I'm working on getting video editing and mixers and cameras and all that. So we're going to have pictures and all that stuff, too.
Cool. I don't doubt you. No. You always say what you're going to do, sir.
But what are you using for bait out there?
I've been using a lot of shrimp, live shrimp, cut bait, cut sardines, cut squid. We're catching a lot of live bait out there. Off of some of the ledges, we'll usually hit a couple of sandy areas at which we'll catch live squirrel fish, live spot tails, some pinfish, you know, whatever we can.
Sometime when you get a couple of spots that are pretty decent size, real sweet eating.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Those, I got to tell you, a lot of guys are, you know, so intent on the bait, they don't realize that they're good. They're real good.
And that's what I do, too, you know, even at the end of the trip. If I have a few decent-sized squirrel fish, usually I'll let the little ones go before we get inland so I don't kill them. And I mean, if we have a few good ones, I'll just throw them in the ice box and let the customers know, because a lot of them are from up north, and they have their sand perch up there. And
these are basically the sand. Mm-hmm. They're great eating here. I mean, the squirrel fish, the spot tails, all that, they're actually very good eating fish. Kind of like people when they catch big pinfish. They don't know. Fillet them up.
Uh-huh.
Good eating fish.
Yep.
It's just we happen to use some of these fish for bait, like whiting. Uh-huh. We use whiting for bait all the time, but it's a great eating fish.
Yes, sir. And a pinfish, is I learned from you, is actually a porgy. It's part of the porgy family. I learned that from you.
I think that was Robert.
Oh, Robert. Okay.
That had to be Robert, because I'm not that smart.
Okay.
You know, I get to look cool, be fishing Frank, but nah, Robert's the one that makes me look good. He's the smart one.
I did fish one public reef this week. I can't lie. I had one guy that wanted a Goliath. We got a nice cobia this week, about a 40-incher, that just showed up behind the boat. And it was pretty cool how it happened. Matthew, my little brother, is mating for me now. And the guy pulled up a grunt, and this cobia tried to eat this big grunt. Followed it up to the surface. At which Matt's like, no, 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 wait, you're overmatched. Because the guy had the grunt on a light rod. Matthew reeled our grouper rod up real quick that we had soaking with a live squirrel fish. And the guy just kept the grunt in the water, enticing the cobia. And the cobia stayed there. And then as soon as Matt just kind of swirled that squirrel fish in front of his face, that cobia smacked that squirrel fish, and that was on the 4-aught, so we were comfortable, you know. And then Matthew gave the rod to the gentleman, and it was a pretty cool feat. And then we've seen permit out there this week. And that,
really?
Yes, that woke me up big time, you know, because we're fishing in a big boat. Usually those big schools of permit are spooky, you know.
Right.
And I'm not usually prepared for them because I hardly ever see them. But that day we were live free lining live shrimp down to those snappers. So I had a free line set up, and you could see some of them tailing and kind of pushing on the surface. At which I ran in the cabin and grabbed the free line rod, the light rod out, threw a shrimp on it, just kind of waited for them, and they pushed right to us while we were anchored. And we threw a shot at that fish or at those fish and just kind of let that shrimp soak down and got slammed and put somebody else on a really nice permit, which I very rarely get to see. So it really made my whole week, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you. And people forget that shrimp's a great bait for permit. They always, you know, crabs are probably a little better, but you know, throw the shrimp. If you've got any kind of shrimp, just put a decent size hook relative to the shrimp and freeline it down through those pompano or the permit, and they will whack it. They love shrimp. It's just, you know, the crabs are definitely a better bait for them, but I would rather throw the shrimp and catch the fish than sit there and go, well, I don't have crabs, so I'm not going to throw. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
throw the shrimp. It comes down through them. They'll eat it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, fish surprise you all the time. You know,
I don't know. I think food is food. I mean, and yes, I like pizza, and I love Luigi's Works pizza. But I don't want it every day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes I'd rather have, you know, I don't know, a lasagna or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Yeah, but they love crabs, but sometimes that shrimp is just really tasty.
Yeah, I agree with you. So,
But anyway, so you've been doing good on the offshore trips. I would say probably, have you been hit Mary's Power Pole, any of those? You heard about anything up in there?
Yes, the school bus is doing good. There's a lot of Spanish mackerel out past the school bus a little ways. There's a few kings, and there's some good bottom out just south of the school bus. And what else? I've been doing Helen's and Mary's, the near shore reefs. They have a lot of big sheephead on them right now, as well as a lot of nice mangrove snapper, but you got to fish real light for them.
Using spinning tackle.
Yes, sir.
Almost the same thing as you would for your redfish and snook.
Absolutely.
And lightweights and letting the shrimp kind of drift into them rather than drop on them.
Yep, and it's a little more challenging, which makes it a little more fun. You break some of them big snappers, you'll break off, or you may hook some big gags occasionally that spank you, you know, but it's a lot more fun on those light action rods and catching them in 30 foot of water, you know, in that range.
Yeah, the nice near shore stuff that you can reach with almost any boat on a nice day.
Yes, sir, and flounder, too, on the outskirts of the reef.
Yeah, just get about, if you're not doing well right on the reef itself, don't abandon the reef until after you've cast out away from the structure. Get out on that sand bottom, out away from there. That's where the gags, that's where the flounder, all those other fish are going to be out there on the sides of it, not up in the structure. So a lot of people, they fish the structure, and they don't hit anything, and they leave. I always take a minute to fish outside of the structure, go to the front of the boat, cast out away from the structure, and, you know, try and find some of those fish that are laying in the sand, not so much up in the big concrete.
You could look into a permit, too, you know.
Right. I'd rather be lucky than good any day.
Yes, sir. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
But anyway, have you heard anything on the inside?
On the inside, you know, we've been fishing a lot of sheep's head still, like I talked about on the last time I talked with you. We've still been doing a lot of sheep's head fishing.
Have you tried the Rockport Rattler with the shrimp, rigging the live shrimp on it yet?
That's what I'm fishing for my redfish now. And Mission Fishing jig heads were my favorite.
I was just on the phone with the people from Rockport Rattler. It's Chicky Tackle, and I think his name is like Charles, and her name is Vicky, and so they went Chicky.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, they're going up. They also make some crappie stuff, which I wasn't aware of, and they're going to Sanford, Florida for some crappie tournament or something. But they're talking about coming for the tent sale.
Awesome. And I would love to meet them.
They really seem nice. They're out of Texas, real nice people, and they make the worm hooks with the glass rattles in them and make the jig heads with the glass rattles. And I really want to see what some of the rest of their stuff is, because it's more fun to deal with an American company, and it's nicer when the people are really nice. And she was just a sweetheart on the phone. I mean, just as nice as she could be. Her and her husband, she was going in the car, and the phone, you know, got transferred. And I actually, I probably talked to her close to half an hour just chit-chatting about stuff.
That's cool. Yep.
And, you know, I'm not that nice, so if somebody, if I'm going to talk to somebody that long, they really got to be nice people. But I'm hoping to get them down here. We've got another load of coming in. We got a lot of jig heads with even smaller hooks. We went to 1-aught, 2-aughts, 3-aughts, 4-aughts. We're getting all the different size hooks in, a lot of different weights and colors. And we're talking to them about making a brown, more of the...
copper.
Yeah, that copper color.
So with a gold flake, maybe.
We're hoping some coppers and golds and stuff. We're going to try and get them to make some of that for us. Because all of a sudden, boy, it's the bomb.
I mean, It really is.
Tear that tail off that shrimp and thread that hook on. And the weird thing is, I've always turned the shrimp upside down to put the hook in. But with the Rockport, you just kind of put the hook in and bring it back out through the top.
Yep, and you just kind of give them a little jerk every once in a while. Just work them real slow off of the bottom and then let them settle again is how
we're
doing.
Make sure you lift the rod when you do the jerk. Don't side swipe it. Lift it. Let those little rattles in there go and let it hit the bottom again.
Exactly, and the fish are, and you know, we've been seeing a lot of overcast days, which you see in the winter. And
if you go offshore again, let me get you some of those half-ounce ones to try out there, because you can't use them if you're going to keep fish.
Do they make a circle hook?
No, but they just for catch and release, I'd like to see how they do.
Yeah.
See how it compares to a standard jig head, and maybe we can get them to do a couple with some circle hooks on them, because if they do as well as I would think they do, because, boy, they're kicking butt inside, it'd be really cool to find out what they do outside.
I guarantee that, you know, if you could find one that you could freeline down, you know, by law, the circle hook is not supposed to reach the bottom. As soon as it reaches, or the J hook is not supposed to reach the bottom. As soon as it reaches the bottom, then that's the way I was explained it. It has to stay off of the bottom. And that's pretty crazy freaking rule, but, you know, I mean...
Florida is... I got to tell you. I'm sorry, FWC. You're about brain dead. I mean, the dumbest, stupidest rules I've ever seen. You got to use a circle hook unless you're... if you're going to keep the fish, but if you're going to release them, you can use a J hook, or you can use a circle hook or whatever. Who decides this stuff? Marijuana is illegal in the state of Florida.
I know.
Well, you know, you heard what the congressman got busted for. Our congressman gets it for cocaine. I don't know what the heck these other people are using, but I mean, somebody needs to test somebody here. I'm sorry, folks. I shouldn't rant, but I just don't get it.
I don't either, Frank.
So, anyway, we're ranting about our state. We love it here. I don't think I'd live anywhere else, but...
Ditto.
Good God. What are they thinking?
I don't know, Frank. That's why I spend all my time on the water. I try to not even watch the news anymore.
It's crazy, but the fishing outside is great. The fishing inside is okay right now, but we've got 80 degrees coming. One more day, and we got 80 degrees. And tomorrow's going to be, what, in the 70s?
And 73 to 75 is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and that's going to be good, because I got to work in the yard tomorrow. I got concrete coming and footings to dig and all this garbage. So I'm actually going to appreciate not being 80 degrees. But Saturday, Sunday, the rest of the next week, 80s. Man, I can't wait.
I'm going to
go out, and I'm taking an hour off somewhere during the day, and I'm just going to go out and just stand in the sun. I'm getting pale. I mean, you can actually see. I'm like Caucasian. This is not good.
Not good. Not good. When you don't look like an Indian, there's something wrong.
Yeah. This is not good. It's been, a week now since we've really
seen it.
Monday, Tuesday, we had some sunshine and stuff, but, boy, it seemed... I can be up north, and when I was young up north, you know, a week would go by and you wouldn't really see the sun. You never paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
But when I live in Florida, I get 2 days without sunshine. I'm jonesing.
Oh, big time.
I want it back. And it's coming. Saturday's going to be gorgeous. Can't wait. And Rockport Rattlers, some live shrimp hooked on them, and redfish.
Yep, and trout. I mean, the trout are eating them as well. You know, it's semi-tough keeping them out of the grass, you know. You're not really fishing them weedless. However,
I think you could. If you took it through just a little bit and brought it back like a weedless rig, instead of coming out the top, go in about a quarter inch, bring it down, turn the jig around, and stick it back in like a weedless worm, and just have that shrimp tail, you know, the hook into the tail. Don't let it come all the way out.
Uh-huh.
Just like I would a plastic bait, jerk bait.
Yeah, that would work. I bet you that would work. And
there's something to try. Let me know how it works out, because I'm not going to be able to go fishing until all this concrete's poured and all this other stuff is done.
I'll tell you a little secret. I mean, I've never seen anybody in my life do this or fish like this. But I had some of the rock ports on the boat this week. And I really wanted to fish with them, but the hooks were a little bigger than I wanted them to be.
Yeah, we were down to like 4-0s.
Uh-huh, that's what I had.
Yeah, we were out of the 2-0s, the 3-0s, mm-hmm. We were down to 4-0s. It was just, it was bad, but yeah, you got to take what you can get.
And, I bought the black and golds. I like that color for the harbor, the dark water. And I was telling Danny Latham, and he's like, really? Maybe I'll try that. But I was actually pinching the tail off of like a handpick size shrimp, a good size shrimp. And I was threading that shrimp from the tail end on to the jig head. But I was actually basically killing the shrimp, bringing that hook all the way onto that shrimp, kind of balling that shrimp up into a little ball to where that hook was embedded in that shrimp's neck, basically, you know, almost to his head. But by the time you kind of fold that shrimp up and ball him up on a hook like that, them legs are kind of like hanging over the meat a little bit. I wish you could all envision this. But it kind of looks, imitates what a lot of those redfish are eating, those little crabs that, you know, those mud crabs and those baby blue crabs and what I'm finding in their bellies. And this is actually working really well for me with the redfish when turtle bays had a lot of gumbo grass, a lot of grass that, you know, is tough to fish in. And to fish those weedless, I was just shooting, and it's making it easier for my customers to fish in those potholes, and they're not catching as much grass. And those redfish are eating them. I mean, they're eating them, and I'm killing a beautiful big old live shrimp to do so.
The fish doesn't care if that shrimp's live or dead, Billy. Everybody goes, well, I don't want frozen. I want to have live because I want to catch these fish. I've caught more redfish on dead shrimp than I think I ever have on live shrimp, because halfway through the day, you always got the dead ones. And one day, I was out there, and the only way I could get a fish to hit was I was taking the shrimp, the nice selects and handpicks, throwing them on the live-o lid, and letting them sit in the sun.
Pink.
Yeah, until they got just a little red, stick them on the hook. And every time we threw one of those out, we'd catch a redfish. The perfect live ones, they wouldn't even look at them. Mm-hmm. But that stinky one, they would come, you know, 50 feet and go grab the darn thing. So occasionally I want that perfect live shrimp. You know, I want it just perfect and hooked just right.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like you're doing, that's what they want. They want that chunk of meat. They want it right there, balled up, easy to bite.
Yep. And slowly worked. I mean, basically just sitting there, and I'm telling the guys, you know, just every once in a while, just give it a little twitch and just catch your slack up and just let it soak. You know, and every minute or so, just give it a little twitch. And it's working really well. And it's that Rockport Rattler's giving that little bit of call. And,
yeah, who would have ever thought? I mean, I bought them things on a whim.
Uh-huh.
Spent a lot of money on it and thought, eh. And never really could get them to catch on because they're so big.
Yep.
And we found that we've got a little tool, little fingernail thing. Uh-huh. And they work great with if you use the fingernail file thing and make a starter hole, they work on Little Johns, they work on the 4-inch shads, they work on all that stuff. But you've got to put a starter hole in. You cannot expect that plastic on there without a starter hole.
Yeah, you can't.
It's too big. Uh-huh. And you got to be careful, because where that little thing comes out in the back, that is the rattle.
Uh-huh.
Put your pliers on it once and you wreck it.
Break
you
it.
Know, yep. So But anyway, they're going to be real happy. I was telling them about the show. So
yeah,
that's unsolicited. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to be here that day.
Yeah, I hope they show up. That'd be really neat for them to come in. Any last thoughts? You know, I can't talk anymore. I'm going all the time. I have no idea what's wrong with me.
And you're trying to get me out of that habit, and I'm hanging out with you. So you're
yeah,
saying
I'm making
it, so
you
I'm
get it
more.
Worse. Here I am, the one habit I hate more than anything. Ever since I started this radio fishing, it's really. I'm going to make an effort to be more like Billy. Clean up my act.
Yeah, ever since you said that to me, now whenever I'm talking to anything or anyone public, I always think every time I say it comes to my head while
Frank's
I'm
gonna
speaking.
Frank's going
to
be yelling at me again.
I swear. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just
I start a lot of people public speaking. I've started, I don't know how many dozens of guides on their went with them on their first talks and have trained them into public speaking. And one mm-hmm. of my big things is ums and ahs. I don't like it. And here I find myself doing it all the time. Yep. I've been speaking on stage or public appearances, I think, I was a little kid when I started doing it. And now I can't talk right. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what's going on. Maybe it's the radiation they shot in my brain.
I don't know. Having these headphones on our heads probably putting some into our brain, too.
Yeah, you know, maybe the microwaves from the headphones are affecting the radiation in my head. You know, who knows? Anyway, okay. What is... Any last thoughts for today, Billy?
I'm ready to get out there and enjoy some sunshine. I just wish everybody some good luck on the flats this week, you know. On that high water that, you know, with we see some winds out of the south, potentially we could see some higher tides around this new moon phase. I think them fish are going to be up on the sticks a little bit more, eating some of them dead crustaceans from them low tides, and I think they're going to chew hard this week. So just good luck out there, everybody.
I think it's going to be a great week, and the weather's going to be perfect. The going fishing is going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give the catching phase of that a definite maybe, but I'm very hopeful this is going to be a fantastic week. Even barometer, even temperatures, even everything. Saturday, Sunday should be good, mm-hmm. but if you can get out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by the time those fish had a few days, just relax and get over all these fronts.
Yep.
OMG. It ought to be on like Donkey Kong. Yes, it's on like Donkey Kong. But anyway, Frank is hitting the button and going to try and get some noise going here. And so we
take
can
take care, guys. Let him play some music.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be playing music here. There it is. We got a bunch of new music coming out, too. We're going to have a bunch of different things coming up as soon as I get off my lazy butt and get it all done. And Captain Billy Barton in the chair across from me, and this is Fish and Frank. Keep warm, be safe, and 80 degrees on Saturday. This week is going to rock. We'll see you guys with more reports on Saturday. I'm taking tomorrow off. Bye-bye.